truth. Mike, you kind of said it in what you were saying. I noticed you used that word, acknowledging what Jesus Christ has done, what God the Father's done. And really, this phrase describes our responsibility to the truth. You can be familiar with the truth and not acknowledge the truth. You can understand the truth and not acknowledge the truth. Paul's going to describe the reason God was able to use him the way he was able to use him was because Paul acknowledged the truth. And just the very first verse in Titus chapter 1, verse 1, says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. That phrase there, the acknowledging of the truth, is something I want to talk to you about this morning. And, you know, I know we've been going through Job on Sunday mornings, but I think this would be more appropriate this morning. But let's pray. We're going to talk about acknowledging the truth this morning. Father, I thank you so much for these words. I pray that, Lord, you would help us understand what we need to understand about this. I pray we would get what we need from you, Lord. These folks are here to get something from you, and I pray they would. I pray I wouldn't get in the way of that. I pray, Lord, you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit to say what you once said. And Lord, thank you for the visitors that have come, and I pray they'd be blessed by being here and feel at home here and just be able to get something from you, and as well as the folks that are here regularly, Lord, that you'd be able to feed your flock. And again, if anybody is here and they've never trusted Jesus Christ, and Lord, they're still in their sin and never been forgiven of those sins in Jesus Christ, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. They would understand fully what Jesus Christ has done to pay for their sin and understand their need for Jesus Christ and understand that Lord, without Jesus Christ, there is no salvation and no forgiveness of sins without the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray that'd be clear. And Lord, that we would understand from these verses that we're about to read our responsibility to the truth. And Lord, not just a familiarity with it, not just an understanding of it. Lord, I pray that we would understand our responsibility to it. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Paul said he's a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Acknowledging the truth, mentioned there, it's a godly characteristic that made Paul qualified to serve God the way he did and for the position and the office God had for him. And it is different than just knowing the truth. I think sometimes we can really park on knowing the truth or hearing the truth, and that's one thing, but that's something even James said of the devils. He said, you know, you believe there's one God, that you do well. The devils believe that too. That's not, I remember saying that to somebody the other day. And it wasn't like trying to be mean to him. It was just, you know, well, he said about salvation. He said, well, yeah, I believe in God. And I said, well, you know, the devil also believes in God. That's not the same thing as acknowledging the truth. And that's not the same thing as trusting Jesus Christ. You believing God is something the devils do. They believe God. They know that there's a God. In fact, they even know who Jesus Christ is. When Jesus Christ is walking around over there in Mark, these unclean spirits come up to him and this man, and they say, "We know you're the Son of God," and so they know who he is. And so, it's one thing to know the truth; it's another thing to acknowledge the truth. It's another thing to so. What does it mean? Let's put it this way: what does it mean to acknowledge the truth. And why was that the thing that put Paul on course to be what Jesus Christ wanted him to be? There are several things about acknowledging the truth I'll just give you an illustration to start off here. You can be familiar with the truth just like I'm sure you have walked into a room, or somebody else, maybe somebody you're acquainted with has walked into a room and you saw someone you knew, but you didn't really want to acknowledge their presence. Maybe there's some rift between y'all. Maybe you didn't really want to talk to them that much. And so you saw them, you recognized them, you understood who they are, but you didn't really want to acknowledge their presence because you didn't really want to, you didn't want to have a conversation with them. I think sometimes we treat the truth that way, and you can recognize the truth. You know it's walked into the room, you know it's there, but you're not really on good terms with it. And so you don't really want to acknowledge its presence, because acknowledging its presence means we're gonna have to have some back and forth with it. And so that's the difference. I'll just say that's an illustration of the difference between knowing and recognizing the truth and then actually acknowledging the truth and fellowshipping and relating with the truth. So here's a few verses. I want to give you a cross-reference. And remember, the Bible is the best interpreter of itself. So when you see a word like acknowledge, it's good to go to the Bible and see, what does that mean? What is different from Paul acknowledging the truth and devils acknowledging there's a God? What's the difference between, or devils knowing there's a God, or the devil knowing there's a God? What's the difference between acknowledging this thing and just knowing this thing? Let me show you a verse. Look over in Genesis chapter 38. I'm going to show you a cross reference to this word. Genesis chapter 38 and verse 25. This is I won't give you the whole backstory of this thing. In chapter Genesis 38, Judah's done something he shouldn't have done, and now he's he basically went into a harlot, or someone he thought was a harlot that turned out to be his daughter-in-law, and he didn't know that. And so here's the outcome of this story. Genesis chapter 38, verse 25. When she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, "By the man whose these are, am I with child?" And this is the daughter-in-law saying to the father-in-law, who's Judah, that the tokens that this man gave me when he came into me, that this is his child. "By the man whose these are, am I with child?" And she did discern, "I pray thee, whose are these, the signet, the bracelets, and staff?" And Judah acknowledged them and said, "She hath been more righteous than I, because that I gave her not to Shelah my son, and he knew her again no more." All right, just that phrase there, acknowledging the son there and acknowledging the signet, the bracelets, all that stuff. What Judah has done now is, in a bad situation that he created, has taken ownership of his responsibility in this. Now, he could have just as easily said, "I don't know who those belong to. I don't know whose they are. This isn't my child." But what Judah does, the Bible says, is he acknowledges, this is mine. Meaning he owns it, he takes responsibility for this thing. Here's the application. Here's what I'm trying to get to with this. If you take responsibility for the truth, there's a difference between knowing the truth and taking responsibility for the truth. If I take responsibility for something, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a place for it. I'm probably going to provide for it. I'm going to own this thing. This is going to be mine to take care of. To acknowledge the truth is to take responsibility for it, to protect it, to ensure that it stays in good condition. Some folks, you want to hear the truth? That's as far as it goes. It's something else to actually own that truth. The Bible says this in Proverbs. He says, buy the truth and sell it not. Which means truth has a cost. Some of you have found out over time that when you buy the truth, what it cost you was some friends. That it had a price with it. Some of you found out that when you bought the truth, when you took ownership and possession of the truth, it cost you family. Proverbs, he says, buy the truth, sell it not. Meaning truth has a cost. And that's why some people aren't willing to acknowledge it. They're not interested in owning it. They're just interested in being around it. I want to hear it. I want to listen to it. But I don't ever want to make it mine where I have to own it and protect it and make a place for it and provide for it and ensure that it stays in good condition. That's what Paul does, and that's what makes him the qualified candidate to do what he did for the Lord, to be an apostle, to serve the Lord the way he did, because when he heard the truth, he acknowledged it, he made a place for it. He owned that thing. He took responsibility for it. And he wanted to make sure that truth stayed in good condition. How many times does Paul say in the New Testament, he tells folks, don't tarnish the reputation of Jesus Christ. Don't tarnish the reputation of the gospel. Keep the truth in good condition. Don't by your behavior and by your actions make this something and something it's not. Don't by your behavior and your actions turn people off to the truth because you've tarnished it, you've soiled it, you've made it dirty, and so when you try to present it to folks, they're not interested in it. I mean, sometimes it's hard enough to get folks interested in the truth anyway, but don't make that your fault. Don't make people blaspheme God because you took the truth and then you turned it into something, or you let it get dirty, or you let it get run down like an old car, and then you said, hey, you ought to see my car, man, it's a great car, and it doesn't work. And that's how sometimes we treat the truth. You don't take care of it. You don't acknowledge it. You don't own it. You don't take responsibility for it. So it's something that sits in the weeds and just lays out there. And you say, hey, come look at Jesus. You know, he's great. You know, come to my church. But it's not something you take care of. So it's not something any of your friends are interested in. It's not something anyone is interested in because the testimony of the truth has become so tarnished. The opposite of that is true with Paul. Paul took care of the truth, and when the Bible says he acknowledged the truth, that means he took responsibility for it. He made a place for it. He made sure it was in good condition when he presented it to people. And he owned it. There's a difference between knowing the truth. Some of you guys, you'll sit here, you'll hear the Bible, you'll recognize the truth, and you'll say, "Yeah, that's true. What's being said is true. Yeah, that's right." And then we'll go home, and you'll never own the truth. You never take responsibility for that truth. You never protect that truth, and it'll just be something that comes in one ear and out the other. I don't know if I told you this. I think I might have. It's an old one. But there were these guys that went hunting. And one of them was a preacher, of course. And these three guys go hunting. And they see this deer. And for some reason, watch this deer. And he walks out and, you know, big old buck. And man, they all take aim, And I guess they're far enough away, they don't know they're all shooting. They all take aim, and they all shoot at the exact same time. And that deer falls. And then when they all get together and they try to figure out, who shot this thing? Well, I shot it. They all say, and then the game warden shows up and they say, we got a problem. We don't really know who shot this. And he said, well, let me take a look at that thing. And so he looks at that deer and he says, oh, well, I know who shot it. They were just baffled. How do you know who shot it? He says, oh, I know who shot it. It's easy. He says, the preacher shot it. And they said, how do you know that? Well, it went one ear and out the other. Yeah, and that's sometimes how we treat the truth. You just hear it. You get familiar with it. But you don't want to own any part of it. Because it costs a little something to own a part of it. It may rub some folks the wrong way to own some part of it. So we feel good about ourselves to show up in a church, to sit under Bible preaching. But let's just keep it in the sanctuary. Let's not own any part of it out there. That's the difference between knowing the truth and acknowledging the truth. Paul acknowledges the truth, and that qualifies him to do what he's about to do. That qualifies him for service. That's going to qualify him for the position God has for him. You ensure that truth by taking responsibility, you ensure it stays in good condition. You make a place for it. Let me ask you this. We took responsibility for a horse. And that is a bad decision. unless you know you're going to do something with it. Just having a horse running around is just like setting money on fire. It does. I mean, unless it's useful in some way. So we took ownership of this thing, pinned it in, feed it. Boy, the other day I was that close to shooting it. So, you know, it's inconvenient to take ownership of something like that. I mean, unless it's going to be useful to you. And I use that as a bad illustration, but sometimes we treat the truth that way. It's just, I'll be around it. I could tell my friends, hey, you got a horse. You know, in Beeville, that doesn't really mean anything. In city, you know, oh, wow, that's cool. You got a horse. No, it's not really that cool. But it's inconvenient to take ownership of it because I got to take care of it now. I got to feed it. I got to make sure this thing stays in good condition. I don't want it to die on me. Sometimes I do. But but the point is, I think you understand. You take ownership of something, that has a price to it. You take ownership of the truth, that has a cost to it. Some of you guys are familiar with the cost, you know, family, friends, sometimes children, sometimes grandchildren. I mean, sometimes it just has a cost. Sometimes it's work. You know, you're going to have a testimony at work of the truth. You acknowledge the truth, and that means you don't get invited to some of the things that people do. You're kind of a outcast. You know what? That's just the price of the truth. I'd say the truth is worth it, but it's just, you know, buy the truth and sell it not. So what I'm saying is there's a difference, and I think you understand, there's a difference between acknowledging the truth and just knowing the truth. Just like there's a difference between someone walking in the room that you know, but you're not, I don't really want to talk to them. So I don't want to acknowledge them. But I know who they are. But there's a difference between me knowing who they are and then actually acknowledging them. Paul said he acknowledged the truth, and that was something that God would honor. Someone who acknowledged the truth. You make a place for it. How many, go back to the horse illustration. How many places in your life have you made where the truth can just be the truth and work itself out? Is there any time during the week? Is there any time during the day? Is there any time where you've set aside and you say, you know what, I'm just going to be influenced by the truth and I'm going to let the truth do what it needs to do? I'm going to either put out the truth. I'm going to spend this time dedicated to putting the truth out. I'm going to spend this time dedicated to learning the truth. I'm going to spend this time dedicated to trying to apply the truth. And I think if we look through our lives and during the week, you know, there's just not much time to actually acknowledge the truth. Unless, and I'll say this, I mean, you can acknowledge the truth during work, during school, wherever you are. You can. It's possible to do that. You make a place for it. You protect it. You ensure that it stays in good condition. You just take ownership for it. Ownership of it. Buy the truth, sell it not. Sometimes the truth costs you your pride. Someone tells you the truth and you don't want to hear that, and it hurts you a little bit. But it's true. Sometimes the truth costs you friends, sometimes family, sometimes a job. There were some Pharisees in Jesus' day. They of course, the Pharisees, they were opposed to the ministry of Jesus Christ. They were opposed to Jesus Christ. But there were some Pharisees that believed what Jesus was saying. But they were unwilling to acknowledge what he was saying publicly because of the price involved. So they would secretly understand and assent to what Jesus was saying, but the Bible says they didn't confess him before men because they just didn't want to be associated with the cost of it. It just had a price that was, they weren't willing to pay for it. And so while they knew the truth, they didn't want to acknowledge it. I think of a good example. Here's a fellow named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus shows up to Jesus Christ at night. And the reason he shows up at night is because he doesn't want to be seen with Jesus. But he believes what Jesus is saying, but he doesn't want to acknowledge that or take ownership of it, especially in other people's eyes. So he wants to have his Pharisee lifestyle while secretly believing what Jesus Christ is saying, but he wants to maintain his Pharisee lifestyle, so he's not willing to acknowledge the truth. He ends up saved and all that stuff, but at the beginning when you're introduced to him, he doesn't want to take ownership of that truth. He knows it. He knows what's being said is true, but he don't want the cost associated with that truth. There's a difference. There's a difference between knowing and acknowledging the truth. Here's another one. Here, I'll give you another definition of acknowledging the truth. So the first thing, to acknowledge the truth is to take responsibility for it. So let me ask you this. How much truth have you taken responsibility for? How much truth are you trying to present and to allow to work out in your own life? How much truth are you trying to take care of so that you can present it in a good way to other folks, so that the truth maintains a good reputation and at least a good testimony? I know folks don't always like the truth, but don't let that be your fault. Don't tarnish the reputation of it. Another example or another illustration of this truth is over in Psalm 51. Look over in Psalm 51, where David acknowledges something. This word acknowledges has a few meanings, and I'll give you two more here. Psalm 51, verse 3. To acknowledge the truth is to confess the truth. This is David's asking for forgiveness, but after being committing adultery with Bathsheba and then killing Uriah. David says this in Psalm 51, verse 3. He says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." Meaning David is willing now to confess and accept the truth, the cost of the truth, but he's willing to make a confession about it. You know, when David for a while after that whole deal with adultery with Bathsheba and killing Uriah, that sin kind of weighs on him. And Nathan, you remember the story? If you don't, I'll just give you a little bit of it. Nathan, the prophet, goes over to David, and he gives him a little parable. And David, it stirs the conscience of David. He gives him a little parable about a rich man who stole a poor man's lamb and killed it so that the rich man could have a party. And that was the only lamb the poor man had. And so David is just irate because this illustration that Nathan's given reaches right into his conscience and just twists it. And David is just irritated at this guy. And so he just out of just exasperation, David says, "Well, that guy needs to pay back fourfold what he did." And Nathan says, "David, you're the guy. You did that." And I mean, David is crushed. His conscience has now, I mean, it was all stirred up and motivated and angry at this person who would do such a thing. And boy, after Nathan says, "You're the guy, David," that conscience is just crushed. And David says this, he says, "I acknowledge my transgression. I did that." He confessed it, he took ownership of it. You know, sometimes the thing that stands between you and the Lord is confession of the truth. Sometimes the thing that stands between you and growth, you know, for a couple years there, David couldn't do anything. He's hobbled in his ability to serve the Lord. You know what it takes to get that thing back on track? It took David acknowledging what he had done before God. Take ownership of it. I did this. This is something I concocted. I created this mess. And I've sinned against God. And that's the main thing. To own it as a confession. The things that stand between you and growth sometimes in the Lord is a confession. If every time the Lord pokes and prods at some area of your life that you push back and, like the Bible says, resist the truth, you know what's happening? You're not growing by justifying yourself. You're becoming more and more accustomed to your own sin. You're becoming more and more okay with your own sin. You're becoming more and more acclimated to ignoring the Holy Ghost, and pretty soon the Holy Ghost tries to get in there, and the Bible talks about a conscience that's been seared. You know, a sear is like it's like a brand. You put a brand on cattle, that's the identity of that cow. It belongs to that owner. That conscience, over time, belongs to whatever idol you've committed it to. whatever idol you've subjected yourself to, whatever idol has caused you to ignore the Holy Ghost, now that conscience of yours is branded with that identity. That's who it belongs to. And so when the Holy Spirit tries to say, hey, we should be doing this, or we shouldn't be doing this, or this is a bad testimony, I mean, you may be okay with it, but other people are watching this thing and it's bringing a bad testimony to Jesus Christ. And you just say, well, I don't feel bad about it. Doesn't bother me any. Doesn't hurt me any. You know why? Because that conscience has now been branded with the identity of whatever idol you're following. It's owned. It's wholly owned by that thing. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. That's going in the wrong direction. You grieve the Holy Spirit of God. On the other hand, David, when he was confronted with his sin, you know what he did? He owned it. He acknowledged it. And you know what that did between he and the Lord? That fixed some things. You know, maybe this morning there's some things that just need to be fixed. You got some stuff between you and the Lord. The Lord's been trying to get to you about whatever. I don't know. I mean, you know what it is probably. And the Lord's been trying to get to you about something, and he just that voice is getting fainter and fainter. And the only way maybe he can get to you is through some preacher standing in a pulpit saying what I'm saying. To bring this thing to remembrance and say, hey, we need to deal with this. Because if this thing continues on the way it's going, you aren't going to be worth shooting by the time you're dead. There are no service to the Lord. You won't be serving the Lord in any capacity. You will be so far gone from usability to God. But it doesn't have to end that way. David, confronted with his sin, he says, I acknowledge this. I take ownership. I have done this. You know what he does? He acknowledges the truth. And that puts he and the Lord back on good terms. Now we can work together. Now we can get something accomplished together. For a couple of years, David, he's out of the ministry, so to speak. He's unable to accomplish what he needs to accomplish, because this sin stands between he and the Lord. To acknowledge the truth is to confess the truth. Maybe some of you this morning just need to spend some time at the altar and confess some things before God. Deal with them. Deal with them between you and the Lord. And then lastly is this. Acknowledging the truth is to be grateful for it. You know, when it's kind of a lost art, I guess, but thank you cards. You know, when you get some kind of a gift, one of the reasonable responses to receiving a gift is to say, thank you. Meaning, I acknowledge what you've done for me. I acknowledge this thing. And if there's no thank you involved, it's kind of like the giver, do you even know that I gave this to you? Do you even know this was something that I tried to help you with? To acknowledge the truth is to be grateful for the truth. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians. He says, as also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Gratitude. To acknowledge the truth is to be grateful for it. It is a real blessing, you know, talking about the Bible in Sunday school. I don't think about it enough. I take it for granted. But to be able to have the truth, to be able to read the truth, to be able to know the truth, to be able to hear the truth, to be able to have the truth affect my life, that is a blessing. That's a blessing. David said over there in Psalms, and I know we've quoted it several times, but he said, if thou hast not spoken, I would be like them that go down into the pit. Meaning, if I don't have any revelation from God, I just go down and down, and I c- convince myself I'm going the right direction, and I just live in more darkness and more darkness. Somebody asked a question, and they said, is it necessary for God to reveal himself? And the answer is absolutely necessary. If God doesn't reveal himself, man, we just all wander around in the darkness. No idea what we're doing. But it's a blessing to have the truth. It's a blessing to know a God who is willing to give of himself, to give his light, to give his word on things, to give his promise on things. And it's a blessing that he gives them to whoever will, whoever wants to have them. They're not hidden. He's not trying to. People think the will of God is something that's so mysterious and so, you know, I just don't know the will of God for my life. I bet you know more of the will of God for your life than you think you know. God's will is not something that's supposed to be something shrouded in mystery and, you know, I can't figure it out. God wants to make his will known so people will do his will. Acknowledging the truth is to be grateful for the truth, to say thank you for it. Paul would be forever grateful for the truth he had. Man, he was serving the law the best way he knew how until he met Jesus Christ. And boy, that changed everything. Acknowledging the truth, to be grateful for the truth. Maybe this morning you ought to reflect on how much God's given you. How good he's been to you. You know, we still live in a country we're free to do this. Maybe we'd be better off if we weren't free to do it. I don't know. Maybe we'd be better off if we weren't free to do what we're doing. Maybe we'd be better Christians for it. Maybe it's just time this morning to be grateful and to acknowledge the truth by being grateful for it. We just take so much of it for granted. He said over there in Isaiah, he said, truth has fallen in the street. That picture, I remember passing out tracts and parade, I mean, multiple times. We've done it so many times now, I can't even count. But passing out tracts with the gospel on them, and then you walk past groups of people, and you'll see those tracks in the street just blowing. Truth is falling in the street. What's unfortunate is people who claim to believe the Bible and be Christians treat the truth that way. I don't have time for it. I don't know where it fits into my life. Every time I'm confronted with it, I just resist it. I just justify my life. Hey, I got to do this. Hey, I got to have this. I got to do it this way. Truth just falls in the street. People who claim to believe the truth don't even want to acknowledge the truth. Oh, but we want to claim we know it. We know it. Yeah, we know it. Okay, you know it. Just like the devils know it. Just like the devil knows it. He don't want to own any piece of it. Fully rejecting it, but knowing it, but just not interested in it. There's a difference between knowing the truth and acknowledging the truth. And I pray that we are people who don't know the truth. We are people who acknowledge the truth. We take ownership of it. We confess it. We're grateful for it. Maybe some of those things apply to you this morning. Sam comes and plays a little bit on the piano. Have a little time of invitation.